Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So tonight we're going to talk about worship and the spiritual discipline of suffering, a sacrifice. Now, just like worship is a spiritual discipline, sacrifice is a spiritual discipline too. And that's not one we really tend to want to get real excited about. But there is a concept about sacrifice and worship that we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to go first then to Genesis 22. It's one you're going to be very familiar with. And we're going to read the first 14 verses of Genesis 22. Let's pray first. Father, thank you again for the opportunity tonight to share your word, to talk about these things, Lord, that are going to make us stronger believers, that are going to make us more powerful in our walk with you and more powerful in our stand as believers in a world that has gone absolutely nuts. So, Father, again, I don't have to ask for anointing. I don't have to ask for unction. It's here. And so you just help me to walk in it. You help me to flow with it. Father, let me speak the words that you would speak and keep my mouth closed with anything else. And so, Father, we do this in your name tonight and in your name, Jesus. Amen. Genesis 22. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. When they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on it, he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And now I want you to turn over to Hebrews, if you would please, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse of Hebrews 11. And it says this, Hebrews 13, chapter 15, or verse 15, says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the last one I want to look at tonight is Another one that most of you can quote it by heart. Romans 12:1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you read some translations, the word service is replaced with the word worship. Your reasonable or rational service, or your rational, reasonable worship, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the word there in Genesis that Abraham used when he said that the lad and I are going to worship is the word histahawa. And it means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, or to pay homage. Now, the word in Romans for service or worship is a latria, and it means service rendered to God, sacred service, or the service of worship. The service of worship. Now, when we go and we look at this, especially in Genesis 22, that word worship is mentioned for the first time in the Bible. And so you've heard Pastor Sean and Mike both talk about the rule of first use, which is the first occurrence of a word or idea, sets the tone or emphasis for that word or idea throughout Scripture. So the rule of first use says that when you first read a word in the Bible, that sets the tone or the emphasis for what you will read about that word or idea throughout the rest of the Bible. As I thought about this, and I mentioned this a little bit last week, and the one thing I think that I've come to really, the Lord has really spoken to me about, and even more so as I read this and I studied this and I really thought about it a lot for my own heart and my own life, is worship, obedience, sacrifice, and faith are all intermingled. They're intertwined. And the way the Lord showed this to me was this. He showed me a circle. At the top of the circle was the word worship. On this side was the word obedience. On the bottom was the word faith. And on this side was the word sacrifice. And worshiping and a sacrifice of worship, sometimes we get the notion that it means that's worshiping when you don't feel like it. But that really undervalues what the term the sacrifice of praise means. Worship, and if you look at these four words, they go in a perpetual motion, in a perpetual circle. Worship, we talked about last week, strengthens and increases, and we worship out of obedience. Obedience and being obedient strengthens and increases our faith. As we walk in greater faith, we come to a place where we are increasing, and we can increase in what we are sacrificing and what we are giving to the Lord. And when we sacrifice, that's worship. And then you get up, and guess what? Your worship increases. Your obedience increases. Your faith increases. Your ability to sacrifice increases. Your worship increases. And it just keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And you will go just as far in that as you desire to go. And the deeper you get in worship, the deeper you get into obedience. The deeper you get into obedience, the stronger your faith gets, the more it increases. And the more you are willing and want, not willing, but the more you want to lay down for the Lord. And then he begins to speak as you get more intimate with him. He begins to speak to you about things that he couldn't speak to you before. And he begins to show you things in your life that you need to work with and you need to deal with. And so as you do that, that becomes worship. As we sacrifice, we worship. And it just keeps going and going and going. And again, we go just as deep with it as we want to. Sacrifice of worship is much more than worshiping when we don't feel like it. When we use that, and we use that as a definition for that, it's putting more emphasis on the worshiper than it is God. It's like, I don't want to do this, but I know I have to. So where's the emphasis at? The emphasis isn't on worshiping God. The emphasis on, wow, I'm making a sacrifice here, so look at me.
That's good.
And so the sacrifice of worship goes so much deeper than that, and it goes so much further than that. Worshiping God, and as I was looking at this, the Lord told me this. He said, worshiping me is not a reward for my job performance. Worshiping me is not a reward for my job performance. You don't worship me according to what I do or because of what I do. You worship me because I'm God and I'm worthy. You worship me because I'm your Father and I'm worthy. It's not to manipulate God or in exchange to get what we want. Now, I know you don't think this way, so this, you can just listen along with the rest of us that struggle with this sometimes. Sometimes we get to the place where we think, well, and maybe we don't do it consciously, but subconsciously we think, well, if I offer up worship here, then maybe God will do this, or maybe I can. And you know what? That doesn't do anything for God. That kind of worship does nothing for him. You know as well as I do, you cannot manipulate him. He will not bless us according to what we do. He will not bless us according to what we put forth. He blesses us because he chooses to and because he loves us. That's why he blesses us. It's proclaiming the goodness and mercy of God in spite of our circumstances. The sacrifice of praise is proclaiming the goodness and mercy of God in spite of our circumstances or feelings. It is proclaiming his place as king and sovereign. So the sacrifice of worship is proclaiming God's goodness in spite of our circumstances, in spite of how we feel, in spite of our emotions, in spite of all these things. Worship will at some point involve sacrifice. Most worship will at some point involve sacrifice on our behalf, whether it's a sacrifice of time, whether it's a sacrifice of worshiping when we would rather be doing something else and putting it in place, whether it's getting up from front of the TV when the Seahawks are playing and you know that God's calling you and wanting you to get alone with him to get up and go do it. Sometime along the line, if you really get into a heart of worship, it's gonna be sacrificial. It will be. That's when it's at its most valuable. It's when it's sacrificial. And you know as well as I do, sacrifice is no fun. It's not easy, and it's painful. Sacrifice only becomes worship if it is offered and given with the proper attitude. And that's the attitude that says, none of this means anything to me. Not in the light of you, Jesus. Not in the light of who you are. Not in the light of what you mean to me. You mean more than all this other stuff. And if you're calling me to get alone with you when I'm wanting to do something, then guess what? I'm getting with you. I'm getting alone with you. I'm spending time with you. I'm fellowshipping with you. You see, in the natural, Abraham was taking Isaac to sacrifice him because that's what God had told him. In the natural, that's what it looked like. But in Abraham's spirit and in his mind, he was not going to sacrifice Isaac. He was going to worship. That's what he said. All you have to do is take it for face value. That's what Abraham said. He said, we're going to worship. Abraham's worship came in the fact that he was willing to give everything to God if that's what it took to please him. That's kind of the essence of the sacrifice of worship, is that God means so much to us that we are willing to give anything and do anything that he asks if that's what it takes to please him. You want to find out how close you are to the Lord and how much he really means to you, let him start laying his hand and his finger on things in your life that mean something to you. And say, sacrifice it. Lay it down. Put it away. And see how much we moan and groan about it and how much we argue and we try to justify and we try to work our way around it. And just sort of saying, you know what, Lord? If that's what it takes to please you, if that's what it takes, so be it. That's what I'll do. That's how I'll be. That is the mindset of sacrificial worship, actually. That thought right there. That it's the mindset of someone who is willing to worship sacrificially. To God, sacrifice is nothing more than submission to him and to his will. That's what sacrifice is to God. Submission to him and submission to his will. The best meaning of sacrifice of praise is that our worship, our praise, must flow from a heart that is obedient to God, loving and merciful to others, and untarnished by the mindsets and the values of this world. Praise must flow. Sacrificial praise will flow from a heart that is obedient to God first and foremost. That's one of the things I pray every morning. And I'm on my way to work and I'm praying, and in my time before, it's, Lord, what do you want today? What are you after today? What do you want from me today? Give me ears to hear, but even more important, give me a heart that will obey what you say. Give me a heart that will obey and do what you prompt me to do. Now, some days it's things that aren't too hard. And other days it's things that are difficult to do. And the greatest enemy to the sacrifice of praise is our flesh. That's the greatest enemy of walking in sacrificial worship, is our flesh. Because anything to do with getting close to God, our flesh does not want, and it doesn't desire it. Sacrificial worship is costly. I thought about this, and I thought about the time when David was out and about, and he wanted to offer sacrifice. And so they went by this man's house. And David went to him and he wanted to offer sacrifice. And he said, I'll buy an animal, I'll buy your threshing floor so that we can offer sacrifice. And the man, he was so overwhelmed that the king would want that. He said, no, take it. Take my sheep, take my cow, take my threshing floor, take anything you want, take it and offer. And David made a very telling statement, and he said this, no, I will not offer God that which costs me nothing. I will not offer God that which costs me nothing. A lot of times we try to pass that off as worship. We put aside what we want in order to give God something he is worthy to receive. Not something that is blemished and of no value to us. We give what we value the most, not grudgingly, but willingly. As I thought of this, I remembered a story that a man named Paris Reedhead told in a great sermon that he preached called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. And if you want to read a tremendous message back in the early 60s, I believe. But he said that during the, there was a time back in the 1700s, 1500s, somewhere back in that time that there was a guy that owned an island out in the South Pacific somewhere. And he had a plantation on that island, and there were slaves. He had slaves that ran his plantation. And he was an atheist. And he refused to let anybody on that island that would try to preach or to try to tell anybody or even his slaves or anybody about Jesus. If they happened to be marooned there, he would keep them sequestered so they could not tell anybody about God until they were able to be rescued. Well, there were two young Moravian men that heard about this island, and they were so touched by it that they knew they had to go. And they had to find some way to share the gospel with these slaves on this island. So what they did, true story, is they got a hold of this man, wrote him, and they sold themselves to him as slaves. And they sold themselves into slavery to him. And he bought them, and they used the money that he bought them with to pay their passage to this island. And their families tried to talk these two young Moravians out of this. They tried to talk them and tell them this is nuts. It's crazy. What are you doing? But they knew that this is what God had told them to do. So the story goes that came time for them to leave, and the families all came that day to see them on the boat. And as the young men got on the boat and the boat left the harbor and it was sailing out, the families could see the two young men standing on the deck of that boat. And they heard one of the young men shout back across the water to the shore, "May the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering." And out of those two young men making this sacrifice, the Moravian missionary movement was born. And if you read about it, it was one of the greatest and earliest missionary movements that there was back in the 1500s, 1600s. It was born out of the sacrifice. And it was the last the families ever heard of those two young men. Never heard from them again. And they went to this island and they gave themselves, sold themselves into slavery just so they could be among those slaves and tell them about Jesus. Sacrificial worship is costly. And we can't be willing to offer up in worship to God something that doesn't cost us, something that isn't important to us, something that isn't of value to us, whether it's our time, whether it's what we want, whether it's what we desire, our own wants and our own wishes. The main focus, and we don't talk a lot about sacrifice because it's our nature to be self-centered, let's be honest, okay? It is. It's our nature. Our fleshy nature is self-centered. Our fleshy nature is all about self. It's all about me. So for us to talk about sacrifice is counterintuitive to our physical nature. But to our spiritual nature, it is an absolute necessity. We have to be willing to sacrifice. The main focus of sacrificial worship is Christ first and self last. That's the main focus, and one of the mindsets of sacrificial worship is Christ first, self last. Worship through sacrifice, and we talked a little bit about this with the circle. Worship through sacrifice demonstrates faith. Worship through sacrifice demonstrates faith. You realize that? It's not, we don't do this just because we like pain and we like suffering. But it's an offering. Abraham, when God told him this, you know what? Abraham wasn't shouting hallelujah all the way up the mountain. You can read about David when Absalom usurped the throne from him and they were leaving the city. And they were in mourning. The people had sackcloth and ashes on them, and they were mourning and they were weeping. But you read where David said as they were going up the mountainside that they did what? They worshiped. David worshiped. In the midst of heartbreak, in the midst of knowing that your own son had desired to take your life, David still, in spite of all the pain, I'm going to give you the glory that you deserve because you're my king. Hebrews 11:4 says that by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Why did God accept his sacrifice and not Cain's? Because Abel gave the best that he had. Abel gave everything that he had. He gave the best of his flock. All Cain could do was just pick some stuff, and I may not know about you, but an ear of corn is an ear of corn. An apple is an apple. A pumpkin is a pumpkin. They all pretty much look the same. How could Cain distinguish what was the best of his crop? How could Cain determine, well, this is a better looking ear of corn than this. This one's going to taste better. He couldn't. But Abel could look at his sheep, and he knew, because he was versed in how those animals should look and the conformation and all those things, and he knew which was the best one, the purest one. He could see. Now, sure, Cain could look at an ear of corn and say, well, you know, that's got a little rotten spot on there, so out, you know. But to really be able to tell, but God, it says here, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Now, this was long before, this is right at the start of things, folks. Abraham never considered the fact. He never considered the fact that he was coming back without Isaac. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I think most people have the concept of this story that Abraham was just going up and he was going to kill Isaac and he was going to sacrifice him. But that, when you really look in and you go in and you read of what had to happen to a sacrifice and what had to take place to us, that sacrificial offering, in order for it to be acceptable, that thing had to be cut up into pieces. It had to be placed on that altar. It had to have the wood stacked on it, and it had to be burnt completely. This is what God had asked and told Abraham. It's what I want you to do to your son. Now think about it. This was his promise. God had promised him this son. God had said to him, "This I'm gonna bless you, and I'm going to make you a mighty nation through this son." And then God's turning around and saying, I want you to go sacrifice him. But Abraham never considered the fact, he never entered his mind, that he was coming down off that mountain without Isaac. That's why he could say, we're going up to worship, because I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to take place. But up there somewhere is a sacrifice. Because if, and we worship Abraham's faith. He knew God was going to keep his word. Abraham knew God was going to keep his word. You can go, let's look at it real quick in the book of Hebrews again. In the faith chapter 11. And read what this it says about Abraham and his sacrifice, about the sacrifice and the act of faith that it was. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says this. Now listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac, all of your seed shall be called," or blessed. He's got the promise. God says, I'm going to use this boy to build a mighty nation. He's going to be the start of a mighty nation. Your seed. Remember when he stood and he told Abraham, count stars. Can you count them? Abraham said, no. He said, you're going to have more descendants than that. So all of this stuff is rolling through Abraham's mind as they've saddled the donkey and they've got the fire and they've got the wood. And you get a little hint into Abraham's face when Isaac, he's going, Dad, we're missing something here. We got wood, we got fire, but we got no sacrifice. What did Abraham say? Don't sweat it, son. God will provide one. God will provide one. Now, he wasn't just saying that to try to pull the wool over Isaac's eyes and get him up there. He said that because that's what he believed. He knew what God had promised him. And he said, we're going up in faith and we're going to worship in faith and we're coming down off of the mountain in faith. And when we come down, we will be worshiping more joyfully than when we went up. At least I will, because I know what's going on. You don't. But it says in verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in the figurative sense. You realize what Abraham was saying? He's saying, if I have to go through this whole thing, and if I have to dismember that boy, and if I have to cut him into pieces, and if I have to burn him till there's nothing but ashes left, God is more than able to take that bunch of ashes and raise him back up. My goodness. That's staggering to the mind. To my spirit, I'm just going, I got a ways to go here. I got a ways to go. But that's what it says, that Abraham, he concluded, and he had it fixed in his mind, that if he had to go all the way and completely through that sacrifice, that God would raise those ashes up, form them again, and bring that boy back to life, and he was coming down off the mountain with him. That sacrificial faith, that sacrificial giving, that sacrificial worship, giving what you value the most with the mindset, if God takes it, he's going to give it back. If God says lay it down, he's going to give me something better in its place. There's a difference between our faith and Abraham's faith. This is, I really, when God showed me this, I was just like, wow, this is really good, Lord. Abraham's faith and worship looked toward the coming provision. He was looking into the future for provision. We worship and have faith looking back to Calvary and the provision that was made for us already. His faith was looking out ahead of him. Our faith is looking back and saying, this is where you provided it. So I can walk in faith in that. And I can worship you, because even if I don't see the answer, I don't feel like it's coming, I don't see how it's going to pass, I can still worship you because I know you provided it back there on the cross. Abraham had no Bible. His trust was in what God had told him. We have the witness of provision to bolster and enlarge our faith. We have witness. We have witness right here that helps bolster our faith and helps us to enlarge our faith. He looked forward in faith to a substitute for his son. We move in faith because the substitute has already been provided. Hallelujah. Man, be careful. You could get excited about that one right there. We look back and we worship because the sacrifice has already been provided. The substitute has already been made. And so we can worship because of that. We can worship, that's why we worship, because we know what God has already done, what God has already promised, what God has already said, and all we have to do is pick it up and run with it and grab a hold of it and receive it and take possession of it. And that's where our sacrificial worship comes in. Again, I don't see how it's going to happen, Lord. I remember, I may have told you this one time, but we were living out in Warden when we first moved out here from Washington, and the people that we were renting from owned they were leasing a turkey farm from some people right out by the Boys and Girls Ranch. And they lost the lease on that place, so they had to have their place. And we looked and we looked and we looked, and the kids were in school out there, and we just put them in school out there at Project, and we didn't want to move them again and put them somewhere else. And so we were looking and we were looking, and there was just nothing for rent. Spent time looking, spent time, and man, it was getting close. And I had this, the house that we lived in had this little upstairs where the kids' bedroom was, and there was another little room off of there. And I was up there praying one night, and I was just telling the Lord, "Lord, you know we have to have a place. There's nothing available, nothing even close to being available, Lord. I know you know this." And I don't know if you've experienced this, but it was just like the Lord stepped right into the room and sat down on the bed next to me and said, "Don't worry about it, son. I got a place for you." And there was a settledness and a faith that came over my heart. I walked downstairs and I looked at the family and I said, "God gave us a house." And they said, "Where?" And I said, "I don't know. But God told me that he had a house for us good enough for me." And so it was like 2 weeks and we had to be out. Then it was 1 week and we had to be out. Then it was 3 days and we had to be out. Then it was the day before and we had to be out. Nothing. And so I was working and I came home from work. Well, I had to stop and pick up my son Mark at school. He was at basketball practice and he's, 16, 17 years old. And he gets in the car. "Dad, what are we going to do?" I said, "God's going to provide." He said, "How can you believe that? Look," he said, "today is Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday. We have to be out tomorrow. How can you believe that?" And I said, "Because it's not Saturday yet." "That's how." And he just threw his hands up in the air like, "You're nuts." So we get home, and we were supposed to go out to dinner with some friends of ours out there. So I'm hustling to get ready, and Carolina, she says, "You guys come in here." Mark and Miriam came in the room, and she says, "I want to read something to you." And she began to read an article of David Wilkerson's. We used to get his World Challenge newsletter. About every 2 weeks, he would put one out. And it was just a message that he had preached. So she's reading this message. And I'm like, and it was about God's faithfulness and all of this and along that line. And so I was just like, "Okay, good." And I said, "Well, Lord, I some people that said, "Well, if you don't find a place, you can stay with us until you find something." And so I'd
one of the guys, other guys in the church out there had a trailer, and we were going to load everything up and put it in your shop, and so I got this all lined out. But I'm still believing. I'm just like, and so she's reading all of this, and I'm like, okay, we got to go to dinner, and she just broke down crying, and she said, guys, God gave us a house today. I looked at my son, and he had tears in his eyes, and I started laughing. I said, see, I told you so. I told you so. Her and her friend, they were out scrounging, looking for a house, and they went to one of the restaurants out there, and they were having breakfast. And this lady walks up to Carolina, and she says, excuse me, are you looking for a house? And she said, as a matter of fact, we are. And she says, well, we have one for rent that just came open, and we'd rent it to you if you want to come out and look at it. But when God said, I got a house for you, I got really brave. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's the case, here's what I want. I want an attached garage, and I want a wood stove and a fireplace in it. So she said, so we after dinner, they're going to meet us over there, and Jim and Jan are going to go over, so we'll go look at it. So it's about 4 or 5 miles from where we were out in the country. They were farmers, and it was the house that they'd had, and they had built a house, and they'd rented it out. So I drive in the driveway. The first thing I see is an attached garage. And I'm like, oh, this is good. And so we got out, walked in the house, and you come through the there was an entry door that came into like a mud room, and then you walked into the kitchen, and you walked into the kitchen, the dining room is here, and you turned and you walked into the room, and I turned and I looked, and right in front of me was a big river rock fireplace with a wood insert in it. Now, why did I tell you that? I told you that because I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just knew that God had made provision. So I wasn't looking forward. I wasn't looking forward to what God was going to provide. I was looking backward at what he had already told me and already provided for me. Before the foundation of the world, before anything, he saw that moment and he said, they're going to need a house, so this is how I'm going to do it. Yeah, he took it down to the wire, but that's okay. He did what he said he would do. I got to hurry. So we move in faith because the substitute has already been provided. We just have to receive it. Abraham wasn't surprised to find that ram caught in that thicket. Do you read anywhere where Abraham said, oh, no. No, what did it say? He named the place Jehovah, Jireh, the Lord has provided. He didn't know how. He just knew God was going to keep his promise. When we worship sacrificially, it's a desire to give God something that we, in our flesh, would choose to keep. When we worship sacrificially, it's with a desire to give God something that in our flesh and in our own nature, we don't want to give that up. It's not to appease an angry God or to try and bribe God. It is simply giving something to him with no concept or thought of return or reciprocation. We don't do it thinking, well, if I do this, God's going to give me this back, or I can ask God for this. No, we do it because God says, and we want him to have our best, and we'll do whatever it takes to please him. Simply giving to him with no thought or return or reciprocation. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service, or as some versions and some translations say, your rational worship. I like how it says it in the message. It says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That means you're taking everything Nothing's held back. And you're offering it to God as worship. Because that's the only reasonable or rational thing that we should do. As a believer, it's the only reasonable thing for us to do. It's the only rational thing for a believer to do, to give God the best that they have. It's a worship that is based on a supernatural devotion, not a natural devotion, not a physical devotion, but a supernatural devotion. It's worship based and centered upon Jesus, His person, and His work. It's a way of life that does not require self, but it requires the loss of self. It's not a life that requires and puts the emphasis on self. It puts the emphasis on the loss of self. It is losing our identity and taking on the identity and nature of Christ. That's what it is. Sacrificial worship is putting our identity aside and being ready and willing to take on the identity of Christ and the nature of Christ. Abraham never knew what God had in mind. You know that? He didn't know what God had purposed. And I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to be right on time. He didn't realize that his obedience to God was going to allow God to give the greatest sacrifice that was ever going to be made. You know what I found out? This blew me away. And I told Kathy this. I said, look what I found. Mount Moriah. You know what it was later named? What was it named, Mike? Calvary. So the very place that Abraham was willing to offer Isaac was the place 2,000 years down the road where God would offer the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that would end all sacrifices. Amazing. That amazed me. I thought, God, how cool you are. How awesome you are that you would do that. That you would choose, and 2,000 years before, you would say, okay, this is what I'm going to do in this place 2,000 years from now. So Abraham, I want you to start it now. I want you to show, I want to see the sacrifice that you're willing to make. And what did the angel tell him? Because you have done this, you have opened the way for God to give the perfect sacrifice. Ah, man, that blew me away. I never realized that. And I thought, how? Yeah, you're it. I mean, one thing, and I'm going to close with this, and I at 8 o'clock and 15 seconds. We will never be asked to give a greater sacrifice than what God gave. We never will. God will never ask us to give more than He was willing to give Himself. He sacrificed everything. And I thought about Jesus in the garden when He was going through that time, and He was saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if this is what's going to please you, I will sacrifice my life. I will be that substitute. I will be that sacrifice. That's what it's going to take for me to please you. Now, I know this, not a whole lot of hallelujahs with this one. I didn't have them when I was going through it. But you know what? This is a valuable part of the spiritual discipline of worship, is being able to go through things and being able to face things and being able to go through circumstances and see things, but have that attitude. God, I want to give you my best. And if it means sacrifice, then so be it. Remember in the beginning, we said that's all worship is. It's showing somebody or something it's worth. That's worship. So we're showing God that He's worthy of our devotion when we say, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I'll give it. Without expecting anything in return. And when we do that, man, watch your faith grow. When you get to that place, watch your faith grow. And then watch, you be willing to say, okay, God, what now? What next? And as you make that sacrifice, and then it begins to, you begin to worship in a deeper way, and then you come around again, and you're willing to be obedient to what God says, and then your faith grows more, and then your obedience grows more, your faith grows more, you're willing to give more, and your worship gets deeper, it gets farther. What an awesome thing, God, when God showed me that. I thought, wow, how cool that is. All right. Thank you for allowing me to do this. I learned a lot. I learned stuff that I'd never thought, and then God brought to my heart things that for my life that I'd never, ever thought about before. And so it's been my privilege to be able to do this, and I hope it blessed you. Not because of me, because if that's what you were after, you missed out. Not happening. But if the Lord was able to take you a little further and give you a little better understanding of why we worship, what's our worship about, then mission accomplished. Huh? All right. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.